Gay, thank you. Gay's got a lot of responsibility each service, so I appreciate her. Not only does she put the songs on the screen and the verses, she has to make sure to get the live stream ready, and she's the one that does that there. So appreciate her and John on the sound. Thankful. Okay, Exodus chapter 23. The reason I'm taking you back to this particular scripture is because I want us to see, it said there in Acts chapter 2 that on the day of Pentecost, okay, they were there. That was a festival. That was a holy day, a holiday, okay? We have in America, we have holidays that aren't holidays. Yeah. It was kind of originally a holy day, set apart unto the Lord. That's what we're talking about now. These were holy days. These were festivals. And we're going to look in the Old Testament. God established three of them a year. Okay, we're going to look at what those three are because they have a greater significance than just, you know, a holy day, a day where you get together and you eat a meal.
Right.
It was way bigger than that. And I hope that you can begin to see that this morning. So Exodus 23 and verse 14, this is when God is giving the law to Moses. And God is giving all these instructions to Moses to establish the nation. Okay, he's given the law already. Anybody remember the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
Notice they're not the Ten Suggestions. They were the Ten Commandments. What chapter was that in? What book and chapter was that in? Exodus chapter 20. All right? Are you with me so far? So now God continues to give instruction to Moses to give to the people. And here is where we're at, verse 14. Each year, you must celebrate three festivals in my honor. And whose honor? God's honor. Yeah. Okay, verse 15. First, you're supposed to celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. Notice, I put in parentheses there, Passover.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Matter of fact, do you remember when Jesus, remember that last supper, the last meal that Jesus ate with his disciples? What was that one called? That was a Passover meal. That's why they were there. Remember, they went and they said, Jesus, where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal at? And Jesus told them and gave them instructions. And so this was the first of the festivals that God's people were to celebrate and honor God in. Remember, the Passover, this is a big deal. The Passover was a huge deal. This was, well, matter of fact, we'll just read along here. It kind of alludes to it. Celebrate this festival annually. So that would be celebrate this every year. At the appointed time in early spring, in the month of Abib, for that is the anniversary of your departure from Egypt. Okay? God is saying, hey, I want you to remember what I did for you then. Remember what happened, and you're to do this and celebrate this every year. This is the Festival of Passover, okay? Also called Festival of Unleavened Bread. So what happened, if you recall, I'm going to take you back there for a moment. God's people were in slavery in Egypt. And God said, hey, he heard their cry, he heard the people's cry, and he came to deliver them, and came to set them free. And he rose up Moses. Moses was going to go and help set God's people free. But the king wouldn't listen. We call him Pharaoh. Pharaoh wouldn't listen. And he kept, Moses would go and he said, hey Pharaoh, God says to let my people go. And Pharaoh would say no. And Pharaoh was good at saying no. Matter of fact, he did it 8 times. And then the 9th time God said, through Moses, Moses said, Pharaoh, God says to let his people go.
Yeah.
And if you don't, Pharaoh, here's what's going to happen. Every firstborn of Egypt will die. Pharaoh, being good at saying no, said, still not happening. So, guess what's coming? What happened was, God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, have all the people, all of Israel, have my people, take a lamb, sacrifice the lamb, take blood from that lamb, and put it on the doorpost of their home.
Yeah.
And Moses, the reason I need you to do that is because when my death angel comes, when the death angel comes and sees that blood, it will pass over that house and won't take the life of the firstborn, and it will move on to the next house. And you better believe the Israelites did that.
Yes, they did.
They took Moses' advice and their instruction, and they applied the blood to their home.
Yes, amen.
You and I can do the same today. Not blood from a physical lamb on the doorpost of our homes, but we apply the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, to our hearts.
Amen.
Okay? You see the connection there. Jesus was the New Testament fulfillment of an Old Testament festival.
Yes.
Amen. Are you with me so far?
Amen.
Okay, because it continues. This is wonderful. So first you celebrate the festival of unleavened bread, or the festival of Passover. And so next we're going to look at verse 16. Second, you celebrate the festival of harvest. Okay, and let's go on. It says there, I've got in parentheses, I added this, it says Pentecost. This is the festival of Pentecost. Okay, but look at what else it says here. Secondly, celebrate the festival of Pentecost when you bring me the first crops of your harvest. Okay, so God was instructing his people, guys, listen, when I provided you, I've made your crops grow. Guess what? You can't make your crops grow, can you? Who else prays for their grass seed when you throw grass seed down? Man, I get excited when I pray for that. And then I start seeing that little sprigs of grass come up. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Husbands, you go tell your wives, honey, come out here, you got to see it. That's me, okay? And so, but guess what? You can't make it grow.
Right.
There's some things that you can certainly do. By making sure it gets in there deep enough and whatnot, but you can't make it grow. God's the one who makes the crops grow.
Yes.
Obviously, water is going to help, but you can't make it grow. God's the one who does that. And so when God makes those crops grow, guess what? His people were supposed to, they were supposed to gather that and harvest that, and then they were going to come and bring. They get the grain, and they even make loaves of bread. God was supposed to get the first of that.
Yes.
Okay? God was supposed to get the first of that harvest. Now, here's what I want to point out to you. The New Testament fulfillment of that is the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2. This is the New Testament fulfillment of this Old Testament pattern. God was saying, hey, I want you to bring me this is the first fruit. The Pentecost here, the festival of harvest, was the first fruit. God, we're going to give you the first fruit of our crops. But now, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when God poured out his Holy Spirit, you see, that was God saying, this is my first fruits.
Yes.
This is my first fruits. In other words, and listen, I'm saying this because there's some who believe that this was only for those apostles in the day of the New Testament, when the day it was written. That is not what I find in my Bible.
Amen.
That's not what I see. Matter of fact, when I dig into it, this is the stuff that I'm finding.
Right.
Is that this is bigger than I ever thought it was, and bigger. It has to do with a pattern. It has to do with the design that God established.
Yes.
Look at the Old Testament Passover. That was a big deal for those who were in Egypt, but there is a New Testament fulfillment of that, and that was Jesus coming as the Passover Lamb. He even died on Passover.
Yes.
Okay. So do you see the bigger picture there? And now, 50 days after that is the day of Pentecost. Matter of fact, you'll find that in the Old Testament. Say, hey, that second festival is to come 50 days later.
Yeah.
Also called the Festival of Weeks, because it was supposed to be, 7 weeks later, which would be 49 days, and then it would be the next day. Excuse me. So I hope that this is making sense to you this morning, that the Passover was when Jesus was crucified. You see, he didn't stay dead, did he?
Right.
He was resurrected back to life.
Yeah.
And then 50 days later, then God says, hey guys, I got something else for you.
Yeah.
I got a first fruit for you.
Yeah.
This is the first fruit.
Yes.
And that was God saying, hey, this is for you guys, but also for anyone after you.
Amen.
Because look at this last, remember I said there was three festivals? Look at the last one. Finally, celebrate the festival, listen, of the final harvest at the end of the harvest season when you have harvested all the crops from your fields. So here's the New Testament application here. This is the end time.
Yeah.
This is that final harvest when everybody who's going to come to Christ has come to Christ. Mm. The trumpet's going to sound.
Yeah.
Are you seeing this pattern?
Amen.
So we have the Passover, then we have Festival of Pentecost, and then one of these days, it hasn't been fulfilled yet, we have the festival of final harvest.
Yes.
And that's souls.
Yes.
That's the souls. And so that one is still yet to come. The other two have been fulfilled and are being fulfilled, okay? Because Christ, it wants to fill us with His Spirit. And my goal is to help you to see that through the rest of the scripture that I'm going to present in this message. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Anybody ever heard of a guy named John the Baptist?
Yeah. Amen.
Who can tell me what his favorite food was?
Locust and honey.
Locust and honey, yeah. At least that's all we're told. I bet he liked other things too.
Yeah.
He said this in Matthew 3:11. I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be able to be his slave or to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Yes.
Okay, so who's he telling that to? He's telling that to people that were along the banks of the Jordan River as he was baptizing.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
Yes. That's who his audience was when he was saying these things. It was written down for our sake, and we're thankful for that. But here, John the Baptist is saying, guys, I've been commissioned by God Almighty to baptize you in water. But
yes.
Somebody more important than
yes.
me is coming. And he was speaking of Jesus.
Amen.
Matter of fact, at the time, he didn't know who the Messiah was, even though it ended up being his cousin, Jesus.
Yes.
Isn't that pretty interesting?
Yes.
And he didn't realize it until Jesus comes out and walks down to get baptized. And John's like, oh man, his mind went like this.
Yeah.
It was you all along? I don't know. I don't know how close they were. But it ended up being Jesus. And he said, hey, this person who's coming after me, he is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Come on. John chapter 14. Jesus here is speaking to his disciples. And he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. That word advocate, it can mean counselor, comforter. I think the original word is paraclete, meaning someone who stands alongside of you, a helper.
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody ever need help?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. The advocate, the comforter, the counselor, who will never leave you.
Right.
Isn't that good news?
Yes.
I think it's good news. I don't want him to leave. I don't want him to leave me. Verse 17, and Jesus continues. He said, he is the Holy Spirit. This advocate that he was talking about, this paraclete, this helper, he's the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. Let me say this real quick. The Holy Spirit is God.
Amen.
Some of you are like, whoa, 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 I think you're maybe on dangerous ground there, Pastor. Okay, think about it with me. We have, anybody ever heard of something called the Trinity?
Yeah.
The Trinity. God the Father. Help me out.
God the Son.
And?
God the Spirit.
And God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't the Holy Spirit be the same in there?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me. But Pastor, Trinity's not in the Bible. That word is not in the Bible. You're right. Good point. So go with me for a moment to Jesus' baptism. Jesus, when he was baptized, he was there in the flesh, right? And he goes down into the water and approaches John. saying, "Hey, I want you to baptize me." Who remembers what happened then? Then what happens? John begins to baptize him, and John's account, he said, the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. Okay, so who we have in the situation right now, in this story? Obviously, John the Baptist, let's just push him to the side. Don't forget about John, but he's not the important part. Okay, we have Jesus, right, who just walked down into the water. And now we have the Holy Spirit who just descended on Jesus.
Yes.
Are we all on the same page?
Yes.
Well, then what happened? Then there was a voice. It was God the Father who spoke out from heaven and said,
yes.
Should I do my God voice?
Yes.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Raise your hands with the God voice. I mean, I don't know how close it would be, but
this is my son.
I did not. I think I covered it too much. Forgive me. But God said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. So who we have there? We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We have all three. So even though the word Trinity is not in our Bible, that's really what the Bible teaches. And that's our Godhead.
Amen.
Okay. So the Holy Spirit is God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
He is.
Amen.
He is. Jesus says he's the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. How many know we need truth in our world today?
Amen.
How many know there's a whole bunch of lies out there?
Yes.
How many's tired of those lies?
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to just differentiate between them anymore, isn't it?
True. Yeah.
Guess what? The Holy Spirit's never going to lead you and deceive you. He's never going to lead you into a wrong path. He is always, always going to teach you and lead you into truth and freedom. That's what he does.
Yes.
But look at Jesus continues on. He says the world cannot receive him. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because it isn't looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't recognize him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I asked the question this morning. Are you looking for the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to recognize the Holy Spirit? Or are you going to be like the world and not look nor recognize him? We're going to move on. That's just a question for you to consider.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 3. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, Jesus appeared to the apostles from time to time. Okay? So, he, after his death and resurrection, for those next 40 days, he appeared to many of his disciples. We know that. We know that other scripture tells us that he appeared to as many as 500 of them altogether. And so Jesus appeared for them from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. You don't say.
Yeah.
And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. That seems to be a pretty common theme of Jesus' conversation. Verse 4. Once when he was eating with them, Jesus was eating with his disciples. He commanded them, listen to this, do not leave Jerusalem, guys, until the Father sends you the gift he promised. Mm-hmm. As I told you before. Mm-hmm. We just looked at the one of them that he told before. Hey, guys, I'll ask the Father and he'll send you the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the comforter, the counselor, the paraclete, the one who's going to be your helper.
Yes.
You see why the Holy Spirit's such a big deal?
Yeah, amen.
Jesus said, guys, again, Jesus ascends here shortly after this, okay, and goes up to heaven. And he says, guys, I don't want you to leave Jerusalem until you have received what the Father has promised. Until the Father sends you the gift he promised. Notice it's a gift.
Yes.
But notice also, it's something that the Father promised.
Amen.
Which alludes back to one of the things that I was sharing earlier about those three festivals. We didn't realize it then, but we're going to also look at another passage of Scripture in the Old Testament as why it was the Holy Spirit was a gift as promised. We're going to look at that here in just a moment. And so, Jesus said, he continued on there in verse 5, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in about 10 days.
Yeah.
Why? Why did they have to wait 10 days? Why not just right then? Because God, timing is a lot to the Father.
Yes.
And 10 days was, guess what? The festival.
Yeah.
The festival of Pentecost.
Yes.
The festival of first fruits. God, there was meaning to it. I didn't catch it until yesterday. I didn't catch this until yesterday. You may have known about it. I didn't catch it. See, it had to do with much more than that. God is saying again, I said this already in this message. This is when he poured out his spirit on his people, I said, this is the first fruits of it.
Yes.
This is only the first fruits
yes.
of it. This is just supposed to go on and on and on yes. until the other festivals open, until the fulfillment of the other festival.
Yes.
Hope you're hearing this today.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Because this is good stuff. Okay, now I'm going to show you Joel chapter 2. I'm going to show you this promise and what God said in the Old Testament about the Spirit. Joel 2, 28 and 29. Then, after doing all those things, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people.
Yeah.
I like this. Look at this. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. Any young men in the house? No. Yeah. Me and Jimmy are young men, you bet.
Yeah.
You bet. I saw that hand. How many old men we have in the room? Jimmy, put your hand down. We just went.
Spend another day.
I say that because Jimmy and I are about the same age. So, old men, Bible says you can dream dreams. Young men, Bible says you can have visions.
Right.
Sons and daughters can prophesy.
Yes.
Verse 29, in those days I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike. In other words, I'm going to pour my spirit out on everybody
yes.
that it wants to receive it. I'm going to pour my spirit out. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter if you're tall, if you're short. It doesn't matter any of those things. What matters is a hunger for the Lord.
Amen.
So this morning, I'm going to invite my wife up to the piano, keyboard. And I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning. I'm going to do this in two ways. It's going to have two segments to this. It's got to have two segments because you can't receive the Holy Spirit unless you're first born again.
Right.
Okay? And I'm going to give an opportunity first for you to get right with the Lord. Give your heart to Christ. That's the most important thing.
Amen. Amen.
And then after that, I'm going to switch gears and then I'm going to give an invitation for if those of you who want to be filled with the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Again, I'm not gonna do anything you don't want to do. If any time you ever come up to the altars, I promise you I will never push you down. I promise you that. Because guess what? I don't like to be pushed. So I'm not going to push you. That's not how I work. The Holy Spirit knocks you down, it will not be because of me. Okay? So you bow your hearts with me this morning. Maybe you're here and you've not been living for the Lord. You don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. But today, through His Word, you realize that He is the Lord and He is the Savior. He went to that cross with a purpose. And in reality, you were His purpose. He wanted to redeem you. He wanted to pay the penalty that you incurred. The penalty of sin. The penalty that all of us incurred. This morning, if you're here and you say, I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. Pastor, I want you to pray with me so that I can begin that relationship with Jesus. I'm just asking you to slip up your hand so I can see it. When I see it, you can put it back down. Yeah. I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. Okay. I'm going to switch gears now. Because I believe that the Lord is speaking to some of your hearts and kind of helping you to begin to see the importance of the Holy Spirit. And some of you are like, just get there already. If you want to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, as in Acts chapter 2, when God poured out His Spirit. If you want to receive that today, I'm going to, before you raise your hand, what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite you to the front. If you'll come. And I'm going to pray with you. And I may invite a few others that I know how to pray. We're going to anoint you with oil and pray for you. If that's you, come on up. Pastor, I want to receive of God's Holy Spirit. I see that it's for the day. I want to receive of Him. I want to receive of God's Holy Spirit. Yeah, come on up. There's some in the altar. Brother Johnny, would you pray with me? Would you come up and pray?
Yeah.
Pastor Brandy, would you join us up here?
Changes us, changes what we see.
begin to look for and begin to recognize. Ask God to help you do that. To recognize the operations of the Spirit. You can also say, God, is that stuff for real? Go ahead and ask Him. Go ahead and ask Him. But you better be prepared for the answer. Because I'm telling you, it's all throughout that Bible. Father, I just thank you for each and every person here. Lord, as that song says, pour your Spirit out. Lord, may we recognize, may we not be like the world, but instead, Lord, may we be true followers of Christ. May we recognize what you're doing. May we recognize your Holy Spirit. May we look for you. God, we have to wade through all of the lies and things of this world. But Lord, let us push through all that and just so we can be with you. But we look forward to that day that we're going to be with you forever. What a glorious day that will be. Lord, I thank you. May your people, may we have our eyes set on Jesus.
Yes.
God, we're so grateful for the Word of God. Begin to reveal it to our hearts. And Lord, let us have everything that you have for us. We want to receive everything you have for us. We thank you. Lord, I ask you to go with your people. Give them a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. Bring them back safely tonight. Encourage their hearts. Be with their families. Lord, speak to them. Show them wonderful things in your word. God, may your hand of protection be upon them. Your hand of blessing be upon them as they desire and to honor you in all things. We give you the praise, God. Thank you for these graduates. God, I ask that you would be with them and that you would guide their steps. Some of them may or may not know what they're doing next. Would you lead and guide? Tweak those plans. Lord, that they would be right where you're supposed to be. We honor you. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It is so good to see you today.